And welcome everybody to episode 50 of Digesting Cinema with Aaron and Christina. I am your host, Aaron, and as always, I am here with my fellow host, Christina. And this week for our category, our genre, our theme, it is movie with more than five words in the title. We've selected one of my favorite branches of film, you could say, MCU. Yay. That's sarcasm in case you couldn't pick it up. But we have selected Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings as our film. It does qualify, so here goes nothing. Directed by a director I like quite a bit, Destin Daniel Cretton of Short Term 12, one of my favorite movies ever. But we're not here to talk about that. And before we go any further, let me check in with my fellow host, Christina. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I just have one question for you. How many MCU movies have you seen?
Less
than five, right?
No, it's more than five, even though I like to play on the brand. Honestly, it's probably a little more than half of them. I've seen one Iron Man movie. I've seen two Captain America movies. I've seen one Thor movie. I've seen one Guardian of the Galaxy movie, which is volume two, which is actually my favorite MCU movie ever. I've heard good things about the first one.
Yeah, you might actually like the first one better.
That's right. I've heard a lot of good things. Maybe one day I'll watch it. I've seen Endgame. I've seen Infinity War. Didn't see the first Avengers. Didn't see Age of Ultron. I think that's it. I saw The Hulk with Edward Norton. I don't know if that counts.
That's the only one I haven't seen because I just don't care.
Okay, I actually really like it. You wouldn't like it at all. So it's very slow, I've been told. But yeah, I mean, the MCU, not my favorite most of the time. I'll say that first and foremost. But I will say, I saw Captain Marvel. Hated Captain Marvel. That one was one of my least favorites, probably.
Yeah, I recently watched that one, and it was it's not
nothing
good.
Happens. Nothing goes on in it. They, like, lean into the 90s awkwardly, and it just, like, doesn't work. It's not, I don't know. Anyways, I guess I'll just kind of lead in with usually how we kind of talk about our first thoughts on the movie. Is this our newest movie that we've reviewed? Cruella also came out around this.
Yeah, so, I'm trying to. I feel like they were probably like back to back when.
Yeah, they were definitely around the time where they were starting to release in theaters, but not like fully back to releasing in theaters for sure. First of all, if you got to see Shang-Chi in theaters, very, very lucky. If I'm pronouncing anything wrong throughout this podcast, just a disclaimer right off the bat, I apologize. Also, if it's Shang-Chi or Shang-Chi, sorry. I'm doing the best I can here, and maybe I was saying it right, but either way, I'll probably switch up the pronunciations. Doing the best, though, but very lucky if you got to see this movie in theaters. I will say that first and foremost, without getting too far into things visually, when it was working, it was really working. There's obviously parts where CGI is going to CGI, and you're just going to be like, ugh. At least I was, but maybe you didn't even notice that at all. But either way, I was mildly interested in this, mostly for Tony Leung, who plays the villain. He's from a few of my favorite Wong Kar-wai films, In the Mood for Love, Happy Together. Wong Kar-wai, a Hong Kong director, who's one of my favorites of all time. So, some outside reasons, I was a little bit interested in this, but what were your kind of thoughts on this movie before you saw it the first time? What did you know about Shang-Chi?
Yeah, I mean, I was excited for watching. I go see all the Marvel movies when they're released. I'm bummed I didn't get a chance to see this one in theaters. It just, the end of my school year last year was wild. Summertime happened, and it just never happened. And then finally, when it came out on Disney Plus, I was like, we need to watch this. And the first thing I said was, man, I'm so bummed I didn't get to see this on the big screen. Because, I mean, parts of this movie are stunning, like visually incredible to watch. And the action in this is some of the best action I may have ever seen in a movie. So I'm super bummed that I saw it at my house and not in a theater. But yeah, I was just excited to see a different story told. I don't know anything about, I mean, I don't read any of the comics, so I don't actually know anything about any of the characters that show up.
Right.
So I don't know how comic book accurate this is or not. But yeah, it was just exciting to get a different story because MCU for so long has just been continuing the same one. So it was nice to just kind of get something new brought to us because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I agree. And I also did see Doctor Strange, which is amongst my favorites also, and the visual style in this reminded me a lot of that at times, and I just think Doctor Strange is visually one of my kind of favorite experiences in a movie theater. I love Doctor Strange. I just think it's so, the visual style particularly. But yeah, I get lost in trying to follow which world we're in, which multiverse we're in, which time period. Is this before the snap, after the snap, the blip? It's like kind of mentioned in this movie, but I don't really understand exactly. It doesn't seem like it's mentioned enough for what it was. So like, I didn't understand where this was taking place.
First and foremost, I'll hit us with the synopsis and then I can fill you in on the timeline.
From IMDb.
Yes. Shang-Chi, which is how you pronounce his name, Shang-Chi, because they make a joke about that. The master of weaponry based Kung Fu is forced to confront his past after being drawn into the Ten Rings organization, which I feel like this is a terrible synopsis. And that's not quite actually what this is about. But
yeah, that's really oversimplifying a very complex family drama. And this is this is honestly one of the worst synopses yet. I'll give this one a solid 0.5 out of 5. Yeah, it's getting a half star. This is not a good synopsis. I don't know like if Ten Rings organization is common knowledge for the IMDb writers, but that tells us nothing. I don't know what Ten Rings organization is. Like, tell me what it's about, because I don't know. I could tell that to my mom, and she would be like, Aaron, you're high again, which I wouldn't argue.
Yeah, that's pretty much his normal state. But as far as timeline goes, I interpret this as it's definitely after Endgame and Spider-Man Far From Home, but definitely before the upcoming Spider-Man. And then even kind of involved with the events that are happening on the shows on Disney Plus. It's kind of like as the same time.
And this, it's just like, gee, I don't watch any of the shows on Disney Plus. If I just watch Marvel stuff, I wouldn't watch anything else because it's so much stuff. I mean,
it is very oversaturated. I do think it is kind of cool, though, that they are making basically a true universe and they dubbed it correctly. And again, I don't read a lot of the comics, so I don't know, like, when they pull these stories in, like, necessarily how comic book accurate they are. I read the Infinity Gauntlet graphic novel before Infinity War, and they definitely took some liberties on that. Because the Infinity Gauntlet is fucking wild. Like, wow.
So the movies tend to kind of obviously dial back some things that they just can't like pull off.
Yeah.
And then too massive.
It's so, well, if you
the scale.
If you read the Infinity Gauntlet, I mean, the X-Men are in that. I mean, it's just things that, like, MCU literally doesn't have the rights to. It's just so many characters. I mean, and people
are,
like, brutally murdered. Like, Thanos is brutally murdered. Like, kids watch these movies. Like, in the book, in the comic book, Thor gets, like, encased in, like, a glass hood thing, and he just suffocates to death. Oh. Like, that's how he kills him. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, kids can't watch that happen. They cried when Spider-Man got dusted. So, but I think it's just, it is cool what the MCU is doing, and then finally bringing in just, you know, not a white superhero is pretty cool. And I feel like this is like Hollywood. This is how you have diversity. And this is how you are inclusive, where like you just tell the story. He's not a side character. You're not checking the box that you have the black best friend. You don't have the transgender character, which is their entire identity. And there's nothing else to them besides like, you know, the fact that they're transgender. Like that's not being diverse and inclusive. That's
it's
just
organic. Like,
right. That's just you being lazy and this is what we need to do now to be inclusive. Let me check that box and have, you know, this kind of character here. Like to be inclusive and to be diverse is to truly just tell that story and to have more to the character than like this one thing that fills in the box that they're checking. So like it was nice to have that and just like, you're just telling a story. Like this is just a brand new story.
Yeah. Right off the bat, I think that the biggest detriment to this movie is the parts where it tries to get involved with the MCU. When it's just a family drama, I would have taken it as is. I would have really liked it and enjoyed it. When it tries to kind of weave itself and bend itself in the MCU, I found myself very disinterested. I found those are the only parts of the movie where like the writing seemed kind of stilted and forced and just like, I was like this, but it's a business and I get it. That's what they're doing. But I mean, the director, Destin Daniel Cretton, he directed one of my favorite movies ever, Short Term 12, also with Brie Larson in it. So a little MCU connection there. But I do like that this year with the Eternals, and with Shang-Chi, sorry that I forgot about the joke in the movie. There were a lot of jokes in the movie, which I actually thought that mostly worked, which is, you know, pretty good for an MCU movie. With this director and with Chloe Zhao, another Asian director, actually, and a very creative, they allowed these two to make more of their types of movies, I think, in some ways. So with Destin Daniel Cretton, he's never done a martial arts movie, so that's not his style, but kind of the intimate family details and all that. The first half of this movie, I really did prefer massively to the second half.
I would even say the first two thirds.
Yeah, I think the last third falls apart, gets into some
That's the MCU thing of like, We always have to have this big, bad, like CGI fight at the end. And it took away from everything this movie was building up because the hand-to-hand combat in this movie.
Yeah, that's
incredible.
Yeah. And I guess, how do you want to go about this? Do you just want to start at the beginning and kind of work our way through like a few of the scenes, like the bus scene, obviously.
Let's talk about, it opens up with like the narration of the father. And then like we talk about when he meets the mother in
Magical Land.
Oh my God. And I'm like, first of all, the first, 15, 20 minutes of this movie, if you don't watch any other part of this movie, I think you leave satisfied.
Yep.
Because in that 20 minutes, they tell a story and it's beautiful to watch. The colors are beautiful. The cinematography, I think, is beautiful. As I still don't know what cinematography means, but it seems like it was beautiful.
Cinematography is what you see and how it flows.
Right.
How
and it visually it flows. Looked beautiful. The action was beautiful. I mean, the way they filmed that and how their style
meeting,
was.
They used the meeting.
Yeah, oh my
their
God.
First meeting with the, it's cliche, but this is when cliche is done well. I mean, just like the slow motion spinning and connecting as they're, you know, it's called a certain type of martial arts dancing, but it's been done in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. That's definitely, I can see kind of the homage there, but I mean, it's just beautiful. Michelle Yeoh and Tony Leung, two incredible actors. Tony Leung, as I said, in Wong Kar-wai films, some of the greatest movies ever. And he's, I mean, they've got some legit talent coming over here. And it just, I think this was so much more than just Asian Black Panther for the MCU also. And I won't even elaborate on that more, but I think a lot of people might have canceled out that movie for this reason, you know, and or oversimplified it. But either way, it was nice to see different types of people. And it felt like it was written by different types of people. It didn't feel like these were just the same old white writers making Asian jokes and then having Asian people tell them. Like, it really felt like there was cultural references, you know, and we talked about with Uncut Gems earlier this year. That was a movie that was definitely written by Jewish people about Jewish people. And I can tell, and it adds a certain level of authenticity that as much as you want to hope others can maybe write about, they can't. It's just not from their culture. And that is one of my biggest props of this movie. I was so pleasantly surprised by that. And it's just ingrained literally in these first 20 minutes, whether it's the historical aspects or when it's Katie and Sean interacting. And they're just amazing. Awkwafina tempers her comedy to the right level in this movie.
Yeah, I thought I really enjoyed her because I know she gets a lot of backlash in the media sometimes and like on social media, but I didn't think she was too over the top.
So necessary in this movie. She was us. She was the real person reacting to this crazy world.
Right.
Yet at a certain point, she could get serious. Like, it wasn't just like, wait, why is she serious now? It was like, all right, we don't need a joke undercut every second, but we need humor in this incredibly bizarre situation also.
Right. And she showed that gap with, she's an Asian American. And then her mother and her grandmother, you know, were not Asian American. So they had immigrated over here. So she's the, you know, the bridge between the two cultures. We got to see her with her family and how she behaves there. We get to see her at work and with her friends at the bar. And we see her balance these two worlds. And then, you know, her friendship with Sean is really nice because a lot of these movies, and I'm sure there'll be a love interest at some point, but like, that's what you get with a lot of these superhero movies. It's the guy needs to save the damsel in distress. And it's like, sometimes you just have a really good friend. Like, she was just a good friend and was a good support.
They did. Yeah. They held that up until they didn't. They really were doing good with the platonic thing the whole time. And then at the end, all of a sudden, it was like romantic. I was like, why?
I think it's
you just go through something like that.
Yeah. I think so. And then it's like, truly, who else are you going to share that with? You know what I mean? This is now a huge part of your life that you just discovered all this shit about your parents.
I get it. But I think they did a good job with that overall. And the other part that is, I mean, really representative of Jewish parents is like the kids who are okay with, you know, not going right away into their profession of being a lawyer or a doctor. They're like okay being a valet driver. And same in kind of this community, you know, with their kind of families, and just like, you're okay just being a valet driver, and you know, you're just parking car. They're like okay just living life. And it's kind of talking about the clash between kind of millennial culture of like, we're okay, you know, not having, and then like the old way of things, and just the clashing of those. And it's cool to see it from a different perspective than just the white Andrew Garfield looking dropout kid. Like, it's refreshing to see a different perspective.
Andrew Garfield doesn't even drop out. He goes to college. He's a genius.
Yeah. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's like played that character before in movies.
OMG. The other thing I really liked about this movie is like, we didn't really know anything about Sean, because the beginning of the movie is his parents, which I don't actually know if we definitively know they're his parents yet. We meet him. He's just a guy living in an apartment, parking cars, going to bars. And we get to the bus scene when guys start to intimidate him. And we're like, I mean, you don't know anything. You don't know if this guy knows how to fight. Because like, when I'm watching this movie, I'm like, okay, I know this is Shang-Chi because I watched the trailer. He's on the poster. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know that he is. But like, I didn't know how he got his skills. Like, I didn't know if this was going to be like a Batman Begins thing where we'd like see him go off and learn martial arts for months and years at a time. Like, you had no idea, which actually I really appreciated in this movie that we didn't have that. Like, he wasn't like this normal guy who lived in San Francisco and then decided like, I'm going to become a superhero. We find out when Katie finds out on the bus that like, yo, this dude's got mad skills and just tears it up on this bus.
Yep.
With Razor Fist, I believe is his name.
Yeah, Razor Fist, knife hand, as I call him. Yeah, and I really didn't know if this was the main character or not. So the one thing I noticed was there was a lot of focus on that necklace. And that's just like a ton of focus on, even in the fight scene, that is like the focus throughout the fight scene, is that necklace is focused on in a way where it's just like, again, that's just a director's choice there. That's very subtle, but it's just, it's really a slick way of showing this is what makes him special. This is what ultimately the father is after, the son, you know. So, but that bus scene, you know, Batman Begins, we talked about, you just talked about a second ago, good train scene, you know, bus scene there. This puts any transportation scene in any MCU movie and maybe any movie I've seen to shame. Spider-Man 2 had a good bus scene or train scene.
It did.
You know, where he holds it. This is up there with that. It's one of the best action scenes I can remember. I was really transfixed through it. Amazing hand-to-hand combat here too, which you don't see a lot of in the MCU. You see a lot of weapons or lasers or shields or flippity doodah CGI. This was just like hand-to-hand fight and just really, really cool spots. It's really funny. I love how the bus driver has his earbuds in, so he like didn't even know what was going on until the earbuds get taken out. It's like a, you know, like a funny little detail, and it's just a perfect spot for him to cut the brake line. So it's just going down these is it in San Francisco, right?
Yeah,
going down San Francisco streets, and just the whole time, you know, Sean is just snapping into this hero mode. He's able to like get the bus around all these corners, turn down the right streets. The whole time the brakes have been cut, no gas, is going down hills, all momentum, fighting people, going back to it.
Katie's great. Like, I need to drive. I love in the beginning, she's like, does this guy look like he knows how to fight people? Like, back up.
Yeah, exactly. And she's great. The guy holding the camera, I think he's been in a few different movies now. Like, I think he has Spider-Man to do a flip in one of these movies. He's just like commentating, and just like, it's just a great time. Like, this is a throwback great time, and it's a really engaging action just throughout the scene. I'm really, really impressed by this. I think it was one of two really great action scenes in the movie for me, the bamboo structure being the other one. That's just like really impressive stuff. So
yeah, that was a good one.
I give this director credit. He's never done any sort of action before. So it's like, I knew that, or I hope that the family dynamics and that part would work, but I wasn't sure if it would be he'd be fully competent, but he's showing right here that he definitely can direct with the best of them. It's just great, great scene. Really appreciated it, being entertained throughout it. So
we eventually find out his backstory. They go on the plane trip together. That's where she makes the joke of like, your name is Shang-Chi and you go by Sean. Chong. And she's like, they sound the same. How do you like, you really thought nobody was going to find you when you changed your name to sound exactly like your name? We find it's out that he has a sister. We find out that, you know, his mom had passed, and he definitely is omitting a few details there, but he just knows that, you know, his sister potentially sent him this postcard and he needs to go find her, and that she's in this like really sketchy area and apparently is like in charge of this like underground fighting ring, where we find Wong from Doctor Strange and Abomination from The Incredible Hulk, two movies that you've actually watched.
Yeah, indeed. I recognize both those people. And at some point we run into, isn't the guy called the Mandarin in Iron Man 3? Isn't he there too?
Yeah, we run into Ben Kingsley eventually, but not yet.
Yeah. But Abomination, I remember him. from the Hulk. And yeah, then Wong is, I was kind of expecting Wong to be there a little bit more. I just didn't understand when he like came back at the end, not to jump around there, but I just didn't get it.
He came back at the end because I think the multiverse is opening up and you don't watch the Disney Plus shows. So that coincides with what Wanda did in WandaVision, what Loki did at the end of Loki, and what's going to happen in No Way Home. And now, and once he has all the rings, like he's so powerful, he can help maybe put it back together.
That's just too much. That is just too much. But back to this movie. Where do you want to take us next?
So he gets entered into fighting, and the guy that enters him in is also in Crazy Rich Asians, which you need to see. And he plays basically the same like douchebag character, and he's so good at it. Like, I don't care if this guy ever acts in any other thing again. These two roles he's so good in. And then he, you know, he signed up for fighting and he has to fight somebody. Lo and behold, dun, dun, dun. He winds up fighting his sister. So it's like, okay. And he gets his ass kicked.
Yep.
Like, she owns him. So then we just find out that she's in charge of this and she's running the organization, and she's pissed off at him because the part that he did not tell us from the story is that he did not run away. Like, he was trained to be an assassin. His sister was not. She basically taught herself everything, and he went to go on a mission and never came back and left her there to be with her dad, who was mourning the loss of his wife and, you know, really went back into his old ways. Because what we didn't touch on yet was that we find out like the dad's basically this bad guy who decides to give it all up for love and have a family. And then once he loses the love of his life, he's like, fuck it, I'm just going back to my old ways, and I'm gonna start up the 10 ring organization again and become essentially a league of assassins.
He's just a conqueror who temporarily puts on hold for love and then back away, but love is off to his ultimate downfall too. So very poetic.
So, you know, we see him with his sister, and that brings us to the bamboo scene, which is so good.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I didn't really know what they were doing with Katie, because I was like, well, is she going to come? Like, is she going to be part of this movie? Is she disposable? You know, because that's a lot of times the MCU doesn't do that. Like, there's the big problem with superhero movies a lot of times is that there's no stakes.
Right.
Because it's like, of course, you're not going to let the girlfriend die. Like, when Gwen Stacy died in Amazing Spider-Man 2, I was shook. And I literally said to Anthony, I was like, you know, it is kind of boring watching this. You know, he's just going to save her. And Anthony's like, Yeah. Okay, Christina, whatever you say, because he read the comics, so he knew what was going to happen. Yeah. But, you know, that's so it's like, you know, is it ballsy to kill off the friend like in the beginning of the movie? I don't know. But so we get all that. And then finally, you know, they kind of team up and it's like, we got to figure out how to handle dad because he's the one doing all of this. Like, he's trying to get us together. I didn't send you the postcard. And then they decide they need to go find where their mom lived because their dad thinks she's alive and thinks he hears her, which like that part of the story is to me is so tragic because I don't know. Do you, when you have some villains, like, do you believe he's truly evil or do you think he's just done bad things?
With this villain specifically?
Yes, this villain specifically.
I think he's as much a victim of his circumstance as he kind of is responsible for it. But I mean, I don't think he's ultimately a villain. Like, I just think he's done bad things.
Right. He got obsessed with the power. He was willing to give it all up. And he did give it all up.
And he lost what he gave it all up for.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, I mean, what his downfall is kind of at the roots of really only a good person would fall for that.
Right. Because I mean, let's be real. Wouldn't you do literally anything if somebody was, you know what I mean? If you heard a loved one's voice being like, come get me.
He gave up everything. And it's been, and you know, in the, I saw this just yesterday, so I haven't talked to very many people about this, but one of the people I did talk to about this, I feel like kind of revealed their character a little bit to me in that they said, wasn't that stupid that they fell for that trick that they thought that was honestly their wife? I was like, don't you get the kind of the thematic and poetic significance of that and why that's like a tragedy? Like, that's just like, they didn't. And for me, I completely got that. And it's just like the things you do for love.
Right. Because if I lost Anthony and I thought I heard his voice asking me to come save him, even though sanity and, you know, knowledge
the
and
my last thousand years of him living are not sane either. So why
but like,
not believe this? So
every reason to believe that, you know, that's not him. Even if there's a 1% chance that it is him, I'm taking the 1% chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, it really helps that it was a great actor who was pulling this off. I think it made it more believable. If you didn't have a good actor in this role, maybe you're rolling your eyes a little bit more at that decision and being like, really, you fell for it? But it works. You know, I think it's a really complex motivation from a villain, which is all I can ask for. I can't ask for completely unpredictable stakes when I know that Shang-Chi 2 is already announced before I watch Shang-Chi 1. Like, can't really be that, but, or Shang-Chi, sorry. But, you know, either way, like, I think that the villain's motivations having some depth to it was really refreshing.
As a viewer, there's a good chunk of this movie where we don't know how his mom died. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, good point.
There was a chance that maybe he was hearing her. You know, we didn't know what happened. You know, we're dealing in a world where there, you know, it seems like there's mystic arts and magical things. So, you know, if she died by a magical cause, then why wouldn't magic be able to bring her back? So, like, you as a viewer are going through here and it's like, okay, well, is this movie going to be that you're stopping your father, or is this movie going to be that you're going to help him get your mom? Because mm-hmm. we didn't know for a while until we actually get to the scene where we see him as a young boy, you know, and his mom basically gets attacked, which I'm also glad they didn't show that part. Like, I'm mm-hmm. glad they only showed, like, him looking through the window, and it was a very brief thing and we didn't actually see her.
Yeah. The restraint from the director is really good in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, those are choices that the director makes, where a lot of directors would have shown shadows of it or some right. more of it than you needed. And it was the impact of it that you needed to feel, not seeing it there. So right. I agree. You know, I mean, like I said, for the most part, I really like the directing. There's just times where the CGI gets really, really bad and ugly. It sucks. I get it's part of just MCU modern movies, but it really takes you out when it looks like that at points. And it's hard to see. It was dark, really dark at points. Again,
because eventually we get to the point where once we meet Ben Kingsley, who quite honestly I think was in the movie just a little too long.
What was his deal? I didn't see Iron Man 3.
In Iron Man 3, he is the hired actor
to be
the Mandalorian to try and throw off Tony.
The Mandarin, Star. Right?
The Mandarin, not the Mandalorian. Sorry, I'm just here for my boy Zach. He wants me to watch it. The Mandarin. So he was hired, and then it turned out in Iron Man 3 it was the other guy who was the Mandarin. But then really in this movie we find out that it was actually the dad the whole time. Anyway, so I guess because Ben Kingsley impersonated the Mandarin, he's now in trouble and he's I don't really know. I think he was in
So why is he there?
For punishment. Remember he said that?
No, I get okay. So apologize? Are they trying to apologize offensive that Ben Kingsley was originally playing Mandarin?
I think it was confusing because eventually it was a white guy that was the Mandarin and people were like that.
So this is their way of walking all of that back.
Yes,
right?
This is the way to be like, sorry, we fucked up in Iron Man. Here's
We whitewashed an Asian character. This is our way of apologizing. Right.
And the way of apologizing is we have Ben Kingsley in the movie way too long. And then I'm the Mandarin and I made some white guy do it so I wouldn't get caught.
Okay. So this is their way of getting uncanceling themselves. Got it. Right. Okay. That's why that part to me was just stupid. I didn't get it. I was like, why are we spending so much time here with this? This seems significant. So I should pay attention, but why? Okay. Now it makes sense. They're just uncanceling.
Yeah.
They're literally sorry.
But then he turns out to be the key of finding his mom's homeland with his little friend.
Yeah. But that was just. The middle of this movie is okay. So it gets a little bit meandering, though. I'll admit it. There's some times where I almost looked at my phone.
Yeah. You get the cool visuals where the dad fills the room with water and does the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you get the cool visuals of going through the forest and having to drive the car really fast. And then, you know,
the BMW. BMW. Very clearly, BMW paid a lot of money to be in this movie. Mentioned that I just love product placement in movies. They always
Which is weird because MCU normally goes with Audi. So
right. BMW must have really stepped up. They're like, this movie is going to be huge in some demographics we want it to be big in. BMW, please.
Yes.
Here you go. But anyways.
Michelle Yeoh in a movie is always good. So
her second MCU movie. She was also in my favorite MCU, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
The fact that that's your favorite is
awesome. That is by far my favorite MCU. I cried.
You see the first Guardians, and then
I know. I saw it in theaters. I cried my eyes out at Father and Son. The Cat Stevens song when you know who. I swear, earlier Yondu dies. If you're listening to this, you probably know that.
That boy may be your father, but he ain't your daddy.
Balling buckets next to all these nerds. I felt like one of them for a moment.
So until this point, we don't really know too much about his mom and like her people and where she came from. We're getting a lot of information from the father's perspective. So I really thought this was nice because it brings you into this part of the story. It was a different part of the story. I'm trying to think of the word. I can't think of the word.
Describe it. I'll try to guess it. anecdote.
Oh, like would you say like the myth? The myth of
the
this?
Mythos? Well, the mythos?
No, I would never use the word mythos.
Pathos?
But like, it seems like this is one of those stories that it's like, oh, it's hearsay. Like it's, you know, like Greek legend. Like, So, you know, he's finally hearing about all this. He's heard it from his mom his whole life. You know, he's finally here and he's experiencing it. And his aunt, who is Michelle Yeoh, is, you know, training him and showing him the ways. Even Katie is getting trained in archery.
Yeah, they she talk about a really good archer really quickly, but whatever. Like,
some people get lucky. We'll get to that part. We talk about how important the dragon scales are and how they use it for armor and all this stuff. And basically, they're just waiting and preparing for their dad to get there so that they can do the last battle. And this is quite honestly where I feel like just the movie shits the bed a little. I think it was so good and you had such good action and you had such good story and you had such good heart and you see like the pain with Shang-Chi where he's like, you know, I've killed people. I was an assassin. He has this horrible relationship with his father because his father blamed him for his mother dying. His father brought him and made him watch as he murdered everybody that killed his mom. Like there's some serious trauma. We get through all of that and we see his emotions and he's talking to Katie about it and he's making up with his sister and we get all of these like really authentic, like human characteristics of a Marvel movie or any movie that would really make you connect with it just to be like, and now we're going to just fight this big, bad CGI thing.
Ugly CGI too.
Yeah. And it's just like this whole movie was so great until you had to bring in these big bads of now like these like pterodactyl looking things.
Yeah. Disposable enemies that they can just kill over and over in different ways. Yeah. It was pretty disappointing to me because for so long it was this felt different until it didn't.
Right.
And I was like, ah, like we had them. But then, yeah, I did not care for the third act of this movie very much. You know, there was some cool battles. There was a cool, like, kind of little final battle with the rings between the father and the son. That was cool. I'll give that credit. Again, the acting, I think, is what saves this at so many parts, though. Yeah. Is that it's just good actors. But, yeah, it's just like a dark, cloudy CGI third act battle where the good guys win, the bad guy loses.
And you don't lose anybody. Again, there was no stakes. So, like, there was, what, one guy that was maybe, like, training Katie at one point dies?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's we're not attached to him.
Yeah. No one of any sort of impact, exactly.
So it's like, what is the point of all of this? And then, you know, they're fighting with the Ten Rings people, and then they decide to unite in, like, some stupid way because it's like, oh, I realized I can't fight them. The part that really bugged me was when Katie shoots the arrow and it hits. And then I'm like, thank God it continued after that. Cause I was like, if she's seriously the reason, like they win, like
that's she's a huge part of it. Yeah. Huge part of it though. Exactly. And it's just like, we weren't having to make these concessions for so much of the movie. And then all of a sudden it's almost like a committee came in and wrote the third act. It's like, this is how we have to end it. Sorry.
Well, it's like when you write an essay and you're like killing it. And then you're like, oh shit, this is due in like 30 minutes. Let me just bang out the ending.
Yeah. You're actually going to start the concluding paragraph with in conclusion.
Yes.
It's like, no.
Just come up.
Yeah, to go back to my initial thesis. Yeah. No.
Everything I just fucking said.
Yeah, let me tell you, I've done that on so many papers.
I appreciate I did read a tweet that was like, why do we have a concluding paragraph? Just stop writing.
just drop it. Yeah. This was such a concluding paragraph where they do, it's like, I've seen this before.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we don't know how to end this. Let's cookie cut every other MCU movie and just pop
they went it to like writemyessay.com and was like, I need a concluding paragraph. Here's the subject. Here you go.
Yeah, because this movie had exceptional acting, exceptional colors. It had what I thought was a very multidimensional story. Love, loss, sibling relationship, father-son relationship, mother-son relationship.
Flashbacks.
Yep, good flashbacks, friendship, mm-hmm. overall, like extended family, Asian traditions, great action. I mean, this movie just hit you on so many different levels. For, I mean, me as a white woman, I don't know much about any of this culture. So like for me, I was absorbing it all as just, you know, an opportunity to learn and just see what story they are telling.
Yeah, I had moments where they spoke in Mandarin and subtitles came up. What a beautiful thing to see in an MCU movie. That's huge for the MCU. And I can, in all seriousness, you think about the little kids who see a hero that looks like them in a movie where it's not like, it's a movie where everybody's in the theater. It's right. just like they can have they have a hero. And it's just, it's done in a respectful, genuine way. And the third act just loses so much of that to me. And it makes sense that in the third act, it's not a friendship anymore. It becomes a romance. And the third act, it just, the CGI comes in and it just, then the portals get talked about and this and that. And like, they join Wong at the end. And, you know, it gets a little uninteresting for me.
Well, obviously they needed it to bridge the rest of the MCU. But I think we also didn't totally, and this might just be because they know they're having a sequel. And this also tends to be a thing the MCU does. They did it with Wanda. I think they've done it with Doctor Strange, where we don't actually see the full powers. So I feel like we don't even know what Shang-Chi is actually capable of, because he's now harnessing the Ten Rings. Plus he can harness his mother's powers. And, we didn't really get to see him utilize that to its potential, in my opinion, because the dragon kind of still did everything.
Yeah. I kind of at times did forget this was Shang-Chi's movie.
The dragon is going to save the day.
It was kind of more about the father. This one, this really was a prequel, not even an origin story in a way. So it was like a prequel to what we're going to see in the 2 and 3, Shang-Chi 2 and 3, when Doctor Strange comes in, or the Hulk, or whatever is going to, and then, it's going to be oh, why can't we just have a movie where Shang-Chi's enough? But I feel like this was his chance. And even in this, it seemed to kind of go to a few different directions. So is there anything you want to kind of cover from the rest of the movie before we get to our ratings?
I will say I'm probably excited about the thing that you hate the most. I am excited about its connection into the greater universe. I think he adds a lot to what the next phase of Marvel can be with these powers and what could be coming up potentially with how the multiverse works. And there's probably some mystic things that he can bring to the table. I loved everything about Awkwafina being in this, and I look forward to her being in another movie. Yeah, I think I'm ready for my closing thoughts.
Yeah, cool. I'll go ahead and go first. And then, so MCU, people hear that, and if they know me, they think I'm just going to hate it. I'm going to cross my arms and not give it any chance. I had a really great time with this movie. The first 20 minutes seemed like they were directed for people like me who maybe were a little concerned that it was just going to be the same old MCU type of story. Felt a little different. Definitely felt like different types of people. I think the combat throughout was gorgeous. The way that the father and mother met, particularly, just tugs at my heartstrings and just is like a beautiful moment. It's just directed in a gorgeous way. The colors are breathtaking in that point. I also give Disney Plus credit because they did put the IMAX version on Disney Plus. So you were able to see the full, full scope of what they wanted to see. The IMAX version's a little wider. So a little side note, shout out to Disney Plus there, but it looked great. Sounded great. Falls into third act traps, though. It really does. It becomes what I was afraid it would be by nature of what it needed to do. I'm sure I could watch a good YouTube video that explains the MCU connections and be like, oh, that was really, really cool. And it might increase my enjoyment a little bit. But either way, I had a good time with this movie. I am a fan of martial arts, so definitely was nice to see solid presentation of the combat in this. And movie at heart, good humor for the most part. Awkwafina is definitely my standout, though, in this movie, I'll be honest, and Tony Leung as the villain. I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 stars. The third act does take it down quite a bit for me, and it is just kind of an overall problem I have with just Marvel movies, is that they kind of leave me with a very bitter taste. I'm a big how it ends type of person. I do feel that the first act of this movie is the peak, and it does kind of take some steps down as it goes. So maybe I'm being a little harsh here, but I mean, I would watch another Shang-Chi movie for sure. And yeah, I like this more than, it would be in my probably top 5 MCU movies of the 14 or so I've seen.
Okay, so this is definitely one of the better MCU movies in recent memory, if at all. The action was great. The acting was great. The story up until the ending, in my opinion, was excellent. I mentioned earlier, I just love how many layers there were in this story. That I loved the relationships they explored in this. It was just a different kind of story than you're used to getting in the MCU. And it wasn't a true origin story of like, we find this guy and then he decides he wants to be a superhero and we watch him train and or he gets his powers and then we see him do some stuff. Like he was already trained and he was going through, you know, this experience of not getting along with his father at the point where he says like he's going to kill him. Like this is it's a whole other emotional element that we have not gotten in the other MCU movies. Obviously the representation in this cannot be ignored and it's very important that we see stories like this. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a super fun time. The third act though really does kind of sour it because it was so strong and it was so good. I'm going to give it 4 stars. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to where this story is going to go within the MCU. I'm looking forward to the sequel. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'm glad we picked it because the other movies we had tossed around were not a good time. So I'm glad we went with this one.
I enjoyed my movie, but I don't think that you
know, would. No, I would not have.
So yeah, I really do. That does give us an average rating of 3.75, which is very, very good. Definitely in the upper half of movies we've reviewed this year. And definitely glad that I checked it out. I'll check out the second. I bet the second is even better. I think they will work out a lot of those kind of awkward first movie kind of jitters that sometimes happen. We see it so often that the second movie's in these Dark Knight or Winter Soldier, a few others, Iron Man 2, not an example from what I've been told. But there are a lot of good examples of second movies. So I am excited to see what happens from here on out. Next week, we are finishing out the year with some absolute bangers, hopefully. But next week, we have a film widely considered one of the greatest of all time, which we've been putting off. And I know that a lot of people will be surprised with this for both of us because we both are romantics at heart. We both love a good love story. And this, I believe, is one of the best love stories of all time. I'll find out next week if I'm right or not. I'm pretty sure it is known for its romance, but I'll find out what it really is known for. I know that several people in the community are big fans of this movie, amongst the favorites of a few, but I believe 1948's Casablanca. So we got Mr. Humphrey Bogart and others. Just an all-time classic, as far as I know from everybody I've spoken to. I've not really looked into it much more than that. I think it's kind of one of the points of this next episode is that we're going in, digesting the force levels of blind to it. We'll see what comes out of it when we watch it. I've been putting it off myself, though, because I'm contrarian. Sometimes I just hear I should watch something, and I like to go the opposite. And this was one of the movies I decided to be that contrarian hill I died on. Do you have any reasons why you haven't seen this movie?
Yeah, I just never did. It just, I never got around to it. And I will, for a very long time, I also just didn't want to watch classics. And I was like, these movies are boring. And I think like, I'm now at a point where like, I have
you're ready.
And the appreciation for it.
Yeah, you're ready.
I wasn't ready before, so I'm ready now.
That's great. That's a great answer. I'm really looking forward to doing that next week. Only a couple more weeks left on the season here, but have no fear. A form of our digestive system. This was the large intestine this year. So we had a lot more of it. Next year is going to be a little more of a small intestine. So stay tuned next week as we will have a little bit of a tease slash announcement of what is coming in the year to come. But digesting cinema is going to be changing a little bit, but not going away. So have no fear, Billy, Raul, and anybody else who has made it this far in the podcast. But we're getting closer to holiday season now. We got a couple more episodes. So Christina, anything else that you need to plug, you need to mention? We just got back from LA, had a great time there.
It was spectacular. I loved seeing you in person again. And we need to definitely keep up this whole let's hang out every 2 months thing.
Yeah, I agree. Really felt so right to be back with you and Anthony. And just, it was a great time in LA. But we will begin together very soon, probably sometime in the very near future, maybe after New Year's or around New Year's. But we'll figure that out off the podcast here. But for Aaron, for Christina, keep digesting cinema, keep collecting all 10 of those rings, and listen to your dead loved ones. They're not steering you wrong. That was dark.